I want to read in your hearing one of the most famous stories in all of the Word of God. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And I think it's just fascinating, really, that this story is even in the Bible. The Samaritans were a group of half-breed people. They were half Jewish and half something else. Nebuchadnezzar the king brought all kinds of people into Palestine, into Israel, after he conquered it. And the Samaritans were the Jews who intermarried with all those pagan peoples, and they adopted this whole new religion. And the whole thing, the people who did that, these Samaritans, and their religion and their culture, were just absolutely hated by the Jews. This story, it's just amazing that it's in the Bible. It's even more amazing that Jesus told it. You think about it, these people were from a country that was unliked by Israel. They were unliked by Israel. This would be like me telling a story about the good North Korean. You know, can you imagine that? Also, they had philosophies and politics that were not liked at all. This would be like me telling a story about the good communist. I mean, can you imagine me telling that story? Just so unlikely. The good, wife beater. The good, I mean, it would be that kind of thing. So unlikely. And then it was about, I like to hear stories about people from my own country that make my countrymen the heroes. Tell me about Sergeant York. I mean, I want to hear that story again and again and again. Tell me about Audie Murphy. Tell me about all these heroes of George Washington and great men of our country like Robert E. Lee. And y'all catch that? Y'all awake this morning? And I want to hear stories about my guys and how good they are. And so Jesus tells this story about someone who is good on the other side. And it is such proof of the integrity of the Bible that God tells things exactly like they are. Because there are people in every nation, and even as much as we don't like to admit it, in every religion, who are good moral people. This would be the equivalent of me telling a story about the good Islamist, the good Mohammedan. I mean, it's just amazing that this is in the Bible. And so it's straight from... But there are these people who are made in the image of God, even in other religions, and that image of God will come out in them periodically, and they will do something really good. And so that's what happened right here. Now, let me read the story, if I may, and you listen to it, and I want you to enjoy the story, but I also want you to think about a question. Why does Jesus tell this particular story at this point? Why does he do that? Well, looking in your Bible here in chapter 10 in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, the lawyer, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest now was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this marvelous story. And Father, you know that my mind is not clear today. I pray now that you might clear it up, that I might preach to these people. I pray that you would remove the distractions that are there, that I might speak clearly, that I might pronounce the words of your book, that I might say what really needs to be said, say your words to these people. God, you said, and lo, I am with you always. Lord, I pray for the people. Lord, many different things going on in all these lives today. Lord, thy will be done in each one. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Okay. Why did Jesus tell this story? Why did he tell the story? You know, it's obviously a great story. And Jesus was someone who loved to tell stories, but he always had a purpose in his story. It is a great story, and somebody might say, well, he told this story to teach us how to treat other people. Well, now that's a good reason. Do we need to learn to treat other people in the right way and to love people, particularly people who may not be like us or who may be of a different background, a different culture? Of course we need to learn how to do it, particularly now in our land. It is incredibly important that we put out the welcome mat. And people are people realize, they understand when you have an affection for them, when you care about them. I mean, can't you feel it when someone cares about you and loves you? I can. It's one of the great comforts of my life. When one of you or when someone else that I know, someone in my family, expresses that toward me. It's just such a blessing. Y'all have been so good about that recently. And Jesus is teaching these people most definitely how to love people. There is too much callousness in the world, is there not? And so clearly he's teaching it for that reason. Someone else might say, well, he's teaching us who our neighbors are. That our neighbors are not just those people, as the Jews thought, who were members of their own nation, but instead our neighbors are anyone that we come in contact with, that we have a connection with. That person is our neighbor. And we're supposed to take them in, just like the Samaritan did this Jewish man who fell among the thieves. We're supposed to be loving people who accept others. There was a law in Israel that was the law of the proselyte and the law of the stranger. And the law of the stranger said that if a man came into the land of Israel and he wanted to sojourn there, he could sojourn there. And he was to be given all of the kindness and the consideration that was due even to an Israeli citizen. He was not a citizen, but he was to be treated like somebody else who was there. I think about that and I look at it, and I wonder how to apply that. And I've decided that what I'm going to do, anytime I meet someone who does not have this European look that I have, that I'm going to be kind to them. When was it? Friday. I was up at the gas station. I was filling up my car with gas, and I'd been thinking about this. And so over at the next pump there, or on the other side of the pump, there was a man who was Hispanic. And I walked over to him, and I tried a little bit of my Spanish. I know exactly 7 words in Spanish. And so I tried a little bit of my Spanish on him. And he looked up. It was almost like he had gone home for a moment. He felt so good. And then I handed him a gospel tract that was written in Spanish. And I said, Espanol. I didn't know how to say, this is written in Spanish, so I'm giving it to you because it's written in Spanish and you speak Spanish, I think. And so I handed it to him. And he said, I think he said, do you speak Spanish? And I thought, well, let's see, let me go through my vocabulary of seven words here and see if I can answer him. And I said, muy mal. That means very bad. I speak it very bad. And he said, no bueno. I said, no bueno. No good. I'm not good at this. And so, but he was there. And suddenly, I just felt a kinship for this guy. He was suddenly my neighbor. And he began exhorting me, and in his broken English, he said, you could learn Spanish. Just find somebody who's Spanish and talk to them all the time. I thought, that's what I'm trying to do right now, talk to you. Suddenly, this guy was my neighbor. What a blessed thing when we recognize what Jesus was teaching here, that every man is our neighbor. Now, this guy that Jesus is trying to teach this lesson to had a hard time. The Bible says that he was a lawyer. But now, don't let all those visions get into your head. Because a lawyer in the Bible, the image that we conjure up is not what this guy was. A lawyer in the Bible is someone who was expert in the law of Moses. This man was actually a doctor of Bible, Old Testament Bible. He knew the Old Testament law. And so that's what this man was. But the Bible says at this moment he was less than sincere. He was trying to tempt Jesus, so says verse 25. He stood up to tempt the Lord Jesus. He was trying to get him. But Jesus was not afraid of those who had bad motives. He used this moment to teach this glorious story about us and how to respond to other people. That's what it was about. But also, Jesus loved that man who was trying to tempt him. And he was trying to help him. I don't think the primary purpose of this story is to teach us how to treat our fellow man, or to teach us to love who our neighbor is. I think the primary purpose of this story was to teach this one man that he was not what he thought he was. See, this man thought that because he was an Israelite, that he was automatically a son of God. You see that in his story, in his question that he asked. He comes up to Jesus and he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, inherit, that means you inherit something because you're a son and you feel like it's due you. He was really asking Jesus, "Jesus, what do I do to get what I already deserve?" It's like going into the lawyer's house or the lawyer's office and saying, "All right, I'm due this inheritance. What last form do I have to sign to get my inheritance?" That's what he was asking. He said, "Jesus, I already deserve this thing of eternal life. However, is there one more little thing, one more little hoop that I have to jump through to get eternal life? What must I do to get eternal life?" You get the impression from the subsequent story here that this man, because he was an expert on the law of Moses, because he was very knowledgeable, had become very proud. You know, nothing breeds pride quite as much as knowledge. Have you ever noticed that when you get someone in their area of expertise, suddenly they straighten up? Suddenly they are the instructor and they say, "Well, this is this and that's that, and this is not that." Many people believe that so and so and so, but that is not true. And if you want to puff someone up, say, "I know you're an expert in this." And you will puff them up in a New York minute. I mean, you'll get them going on. They just feel good. It's a very short road from being knowledgeable in something to being intensely proud. And you get the impression that this man was very proud of himself. And he assumed, as I said, that because he was an Israelite, he already had one foot in heaven. His problem, however, was that he was not a son. Jesus looked at some of these proud men one time who thought that they, because they were Israelites, they were automatically going to heaven. And he looked at him and he said, "You are of your father, the devil." Wow! That must have shocked them so much. You know what the truth is? Though we are made in the image of God, until we come to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, we are actually not children of God at all, but we're of our father, the devil. He is the one who controls our actions, and we listen to him. And so it's incredibly important. And Jesus had to kind of reach out and slap this man and make him realize that he was thinking all wrong about this, that he wasn't a son of God at all. See, now listen to this. A person has to become a child of God by a new birth, not their physical birth, but they become a child of God by the new birth. I might stop right here and ask every person in this room, has there been a time when you became a child of God? When you understood that you were a sinner and did not deserve to go to heaven? When you understood that if you got what you deserved, your deserts would get you hell? When this man said, "What will I do to inherit what I already have a right to?" Jesus, had he been the blunt type, as he could have been, could be sometimes, he would have said, "I'll tell you what you deserve." See, beloved, nobody in this room wants what he really deserves. We deserve the lake of fire. But Jesus said, look, you can become a child of God, and you can, in fact, inherit eternal life. But you have to first become a child. So anyway, Jesus is talking to this man. He is earnestly trying to help this man. And so, Jesus, he was so smart. It's almost like he knew everything. That's kind of a joke. He was God and he did know everything, didn't he? And so he knew what was going on in this guy's head. And so he knew that this guy, as an expert on the law, loved to ask questions that would trip someone up, make them say something that they really didn't intend to say. In that sense, he was a lawyer. He was trying to trip Jesus up. And so Jesus did what every person who loves to ask questions hates. He turned it around on him, and Jesus began to ask the questions. Have you ever noticed how uncomfortable, say, a reporter in the 21st century gets when someone he's trying to question turns around and begins to question him? I saw a clip on the news just recently of Ted Cruz. Now, this is not a political statement here, okay? Not at all. But Ted Cruz, a reporter, came up to him and said, "Mr. Cruz, do you have a personal hatred against gays?" Well, Ted Cruz is not the kind of person who will take that lying down. And so he turned around this guy and he said, "I can tell you don't want to talk about anything important." He said, "I can tell you're not concerned about foreign policy. I can tell you're not concerned about ISIS and the fact that they are executing systematically gays over there in the Middle East. I can tell you're not concerned about that." And he said, "Let me ask you something." He said, "Do you have a personal vendetta, a personal hatred for Christians?" And suddenly the reporter who had been asking all the questions started backing up. Da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know what to say? Why? Because he had taken over the role of questioner. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did right here. This lawyer came and he said, "What this and what that?" And Jesus said, "Let me ask you something." Jesus said, "What does the law say about inheriting eternal life? What do you have to do? And what saith the law? How do you read it, Mr. Lawyer? What is it?" And so the lawyer, oh, he was so happy about that question because it went right to his strength. He was an expert on the law. He said, "You want to know what the law says? Well, the law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus' trap snapped shut. As soon as he said, "and thy neighbor as thyself," Jesus said, "You have answered exactly right. You've answered exactly right. Now just do it." And this guy, stepping back by this moment, Jesus has him. Because deep down in his heart, he knows that it's right to love his neighbor as himself, but he's supremely selfish, and he knows it, and he knows he's not doing it. He was right. If a person will love the Lord their God with all their heart, if he will do that consistently all his life, and will love his neighbor as himself all of his life, he probably would go to heaven. The problem is nobody's ever done that, have they? We're all sinners. We can't do that. It's theoretically possible, but we can't do it. So it's practically impossible. I mean, it's totally impossible for us to do it on a practical level, but because we're all sinners. And so it would take a perfect man. Who among us can meet that standard? None of us is perfect. And so Jesus said, all right, Mr. Knowledgeable Man, Mr. Smart Guy, oh, he didn't call him that. He said, just go and love your neighbor as yourself. And suddenly this guy starts backpedaling like that reporter. He says, oh, well, I don't... But you know what he does? This response is so typical. Look at it in your Bible, if you will. After Jesus kind of starts to nail his hide to the wall here, this man begins, he speaks up in verse 29. It says, but he, willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? Have you ever noticed how that is always the first response of us sinners? We're always willing to justify ourselves, aren't we? Friday again. Friday's kind of a bad day for me in some ways, but Friday, Bonnie and I had gone somewhere and we had a bunch of stuff in the trunk of the car. And so I was going to go out and unload the trunk of the car. And Rick, you tell me if this is not reasonable, all right? I was going to go out, and so I left the door, the carport door, open so that when I came back in, I wouldn't have to open the door and went with my hands full. Well, I came back in, and the door was not only closed, it was also locked, and I had my hands full there. And so anyway, I impatiently on the door, putting stuff down, and so Bonnie came to the door, and I said, honey, I had the door open on purpose. I was coming back in. She said, yes, but Tom, I don't know what you're going to do when you leave the door open. And suddenly, all my sins came before me. I am a habitual door lever opener. I just go out. In fact, we've come back to our house after being gone all day long and the door was standing wide open. It's never her. It's always me. I was coming right back in. I remember I was going to come right back in. I was going to do that. I'm perpetual at that. And she just looked up at that sweet little face and said, I don't know what you're going to do when you go out there and leave the door open. I don't know. And so I thought, but you didn't have to lock it. I mean, you know. But I had myself all justified. She was this mean woman who was just waiting for me to go out the door. And so she could lock it and log me out. We justify ourselves, don't we? I'm the innocent party. I'm the good one. And here's this guy. He says, he made a decision. Am I going to do what I ought to do and fall down at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, you're right. I haven't loved the Lord with all my heart. I haven't loved my neighbor as myself. I have no hope of inheriting eternal life that way. He should have fallen down at Jesus' feet. But what did he do? He defended himself. You ever done that? Jesus, I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good guy. Look, none of us is good enough to go to heaven. I say to you, if you've never received the forgiveness of your sins, you will never go to heaven. You cannot. You cannot until you've received His forgiveness. You've become a child of God. Have you ever done that? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you've done that? You can continue to justify yourself. And people do this all the time. I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good person. I'm like that good Samaritan. I'm always doing something for someone. And I had this one guy. I would go to see him. I went to see him for several years, at least once a year, trying to lead him to the Lord. And every time we'd get down to his need of salvation, he would tell me the story about how he bought this little kid a bicycle at Christmas. As if you could go to Walmart and buy the $39.95 bicycle special and buy you a ticket to heaven with a bicycle. You can't do that. And yet, sometimes we think that's the way. No, no, no. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him and receive His forgiveness. Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you've ever done that? That you ever believed on Him and said, Jesus, I see it now. I can sit here and make excuses. I can justify myself. But the truth is that I'm a sinner and I need help. And every person in this room is like that. Just like Ken Bevel said, we're all a mess, right? We're all a mess. We need help. We need forgiveness. It's just so, this man was willing to justify himself. And then Jesus began to tell this story. He said, in essence, you want to justify yourself? Let me tell you the story of the Good Samaritan. And he begins to tell him this story. He said, there was this priest. See, a priest was the most righteous person in all of Israel, supposedly. I mean, he handled the sacrifices. He was the go-between. The people went to the priest, and the priest took their sacrifice to God. He was supposed to be a holy man. And the priest came along after that man had fallen among the thieves. Here's the bleeding Israeli man over in the ditch, left for dead. And the priest, this holy man, looks at him, and then he just said, I can't look at that. And he moves on and walks by on the other side. Callous. What was Jesus saying? He was saying to this lawyer, he said, you know what? You're that priest. You really, in your heart, there's a callousness that's there. You're callous. And then the Levite came by. And he said, Jesus said, you're that Levite, Mr. Lawyer. You're callous. You don't care about people. You know what? It is true that one of the greatest revealers of the human heart is how we treat other people. A real Christian is kind. A real Christian is really helpful. A real Christian is illustrated by this Samaritan man, because the Bible says that this Samaritan comes along down the road where the poor Jewish man's lying in the ditch. He comes along, and the Bible says that he was on his journey. That meant he was trying to get from here to there. He was a busy man. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to stop when you've got places to go and things to do? Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I think, I've just got to get this done. I'm run like this. And it's so hard to stop and think about the need of someone else. But this Samaritan, as he's on his journey, he sees that man, and he looks at him, and the Bible says he had something that the Levite didn't have and that the priest didn't have. He had compassion on that man. Jesus said, Mr. Lawyer, your lack of compassion, he said, reveals what you are. You're not a son of God. You've never been through the new birth. You're something's wrong with you. People who are full of hatred, malice, people who are full of revenge, need to really investigate and see what's going on in their life. Those who have no time for other people need to investigate. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit, meanness and callousness. When the Spirit comes into a person's life, he is a changed person. He said, Mr. Lawyer, you say you're an expert in law, you're a godly man, but what we're seeing here isn't reflecting that. He said, you're not the good Samaritan. What did that Samaritan do? He took that poor Jewish man, and the Bible says that he dressed his wounds. He poured in oil and wine. Now, oil and wine was expensive. It was the only treatment for a wound that he had available, and he poured it in there. He invested in that man. He invested his time, his energy, and his resources in that man. He put him on his own donkey. Don't you know that slowed down his journey? Put him on his own donkey, rode him into town, took him into the inn. He had to no doubt carry that man into the inn. And then when he got him in there, he had to pay for everything because that man had been robbed. He had to pay for everything. everything cost him that he did. And then, and I love this, he took personal responsibility for him, not just now, but for a while. He said, this is going to cost something, Mr. Innkeeper. He said, if you'll take care of him, I've got to go over here. But when I come back by, I'll pay you, and I'll give you a good bit of the money right now. But I'll pay you whatever else it costs you. I love this man. Though he is not my kind, though he is not my nationality, though he's not my background, he's someone else. But I love him. My heart is with him. I think one of the greatest issues that we have in Christianity right now is when our own hearts don't match our profession. We profess that we love the Lord with all of our heart, but the second command that He gives, that we love our neighbor as ourselves, we don't do. We don't have any compassion for them. We're all about me and mine. That's sad because it gives a negative testimony to people. It says that this profession that I have, when I say that Jesus Christ has changed my life, it's almost like it writes the word bogus across it. False. This is false. And yet, when some Christian rises above that, when some Christian has compassion for people, my, what a different thing that is. A lot of you know the deputy coroner in Jackson County is Jake Stringer's dad, Dean. He was in his church for many, many years, a blessing here. He was there with the family this morning when I got down to the McElhannons. And I watched that Christian man work with that family. Steve had died unexpectedly. They were upset. They were wondering if something couldn't have been done by the people at the hospital, wondering if they had done the right thing. And all their emotions were all over the place. You can just imagine. They all lived in the house there together. It was just a tragic moment. And I listened to that Christian coroner as he talked to him with that calming voice, and he said, you know, medicine can't fix everything. And he said, you know, I knew Steve, and he said, I believe Steve's with the Lord right now. This was the deputy coroner. On an official visit, he said, I believe Steve's with the Lord right now. And he just talked to them calmly, answered their questions, ministered to them. And it was like he laid down the coroner stuff and he began to work with that family. Would God that all of us on our journeys would stop and love our neighbor as ourselves. Can I tell you plainly, I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite preaching this sermon. This doesn't come as naturally to me as some other things. And yet I find it in the Bible. And I wish you would pray for me that God would make me more like that Good Samaritan. And I'll pray for you that God will make you more like Him. But the reason Jesus gave this parable, no wonder parable, it's probably a true story. The reason Jesus related this story was to wake up that man who was no doubt a lost man. To wake him up and let him realize, hey, mister, you are professing to be this great godly man, but you're not. You're professing to be saved, but something's wrong there. Something's badly wrong. He's waking that guy up. He said, you are trusting in your good works, the things you do. And he said, really, your good works are sadly lacking as well. I wish this morning that you would hear the message of this text. I need to hear the message of this text and understand it. This guy was all about himself. God deliver me. God deliver you from being all about ourselves. God deliver us from that. That is not what Jesus saved you for, if you're a believer. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, just a moment. first message to those of us who are saved people. I tell you honestly, God needs to make me more compassionate. I just get so, on my journey, I just get so busy and have such a hard time making myself stop and do the right thing. It's almost like we think, you know, that's their problem. I've got my own problems. God, help me to be more compassionate. And maybe there might be those here in the building who say, Lord, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I believe I have been saved, I want you to give me a heart like that Samaritan had, like you have, a heart for people where I really love people, no matter who they are, what they look like. Give me a heart for people. And then, is there someone here who'd say, Pastor, to be honest with you, I have just never become a son of God. I'm kind of like that lawyer. I've just never been saved. I'm not sure I've been saved. That lawyer was trying to justify himself. He was with questions. He just wanted to ask, here's another question. Jesus, who is my neighbor? Well, he was just stalling. Who's my neighbor? Personal workers can answer any question you have if you'll just let them. But you got to surrender to the Lord. Stop stalling. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand, please? Father, help us to be really honest and open between you with ourselves and you today. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name.